Good that we have Reverend Genaro Tondo with us. We came along 12 years of partnership, not only in the new church that he is a part lately, but even when he was in St. Clair. And he's also our missionary for many years. And in many fellowships, we have him. And he's been in the ministry not only in Canada, but also in the Philippines as a church planter. And it is my pleasure to invite him to come. And it's good to have him. And the Lord bless you, Reverend Genaro.
Thank you, Pastor Saldi. Good morning, everyone. I reminded the first worshipers this morning that when we say good morning, it should come with a smile. That's the proper way of saying good morning. So good morning. I made requests this morning, the first service, for those who are chasing Pokemon, to please chase them later on, if there are few in this perimeter, because I may be confused if you say yes, but I may be confused by understanding that you're saying amen to my sermon. Additional requests. My wife is there already at the back, so be careful. Oh, that's short man at the front. My wife is there at the back, so be careful. I'd like to praise God for this local church as a family. I'd like to thank the leadership of the church, and of course, the mission committee for having me in this month. It's so important to a local church. I know you're emphasizing the mission for this month. From our scripture passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 to 18, I'd like to give the title for this passage in our study, Our Ongoing Mission. Our Ongoing Mission. Going back to Pokemon, a few weeks ago, there was that young guy who was on a mission to catch all of them. And finally, one day, he did it. And for him, that mission was over. According to that tally, there were 142 Pokemons he got. In the 1960s, and I'm in the 1960s, I'm 1967, to be honest, man was on a mission to go to the moon. And as we know, finally, the mission was accomplished on July 20, 1969, via Apollo 11. Dear friends, a certain mission unites a group of individuals, a nation, or even the entire humanity. As Christians, in a similar manner, we have an ongoing mission to be actively pursued. The mission can also unite us, this kind of mission, with one purpose, as we learn to do this with passion. And so to help us in our discussion, let me share five crucial questions to challenge us to engage in this most noble mission we have. Number one, what kind of mission is this? Just follow me with your outlines. In our given outlines, verses 5, 6, and 14, the mission is the preaching of Jesus Christ as Lord in the one that rose from the dead. Paul and Timothy did not just proclaim Jesus Christ as the Savior, but a person that wants to take control, supremacy over the life of a sinner. Talking of authority, Jesus as Lord. By implication, Paul was following the blueprint of making disciples commanded by our Savior to make disciples and to teach them to obey not most of the things he commanded, but all things that he commanded. So this kind of preaching or sharing was so bright as the noonday in the preciseness as very profound, for Paul knew that there was only one Christ that showed the face of the very presence of God in bodily form, in visible manner, here on earth. This is the only Christ that has given us the power to be able to know God in a right way. This is the Christ who cemented the hope of our own coming resurrection when God the Father raised him from the grave. So this mission is about the only Christ who died at the cross and rose again from the dead. And we have an ongoing responsibility to proclaim him. So since we know that there's only one Christ, Messiah, that God has sent so man can have the knowledge of God, so he'll be able to come to him, then we are under compulsion to carry on the mission. Since Christ is the only light that God has given us to man, so man can see God's glory and be able to discover he is in moral darkness, then we are urgently called to renew our commitment, our passion to carry on this mission. Because Christ is the only person that shows the beauty of God's holiness and shows the ugliness of man's sinfulness, then this mission is something we can't ignore. In talking of this gospel, we can't embrace the so-called prosperity gospel, for it does not single out the holiness of God in the sinfulness of man, which is our main problem. The so-called gospel that does not show God's hatred against sin and does not highlight the helplessness and hopelessness of man against sin is no gospel at all. The good news that does not warn people about hell is fake in a fabricated gospel. The good news that tells you to merely accept Jesus as your Savior and you're not bothered about obeying his commands and you're going to heaven is not the gospel in the biblical sense. Beloved, today we are mandated to proclaim purely and freely the Christ that once declared by the apostles. Paul has a further explanation about this mission, this ministry, where he mentioned clearly about man's sin in God's righteousness. So let's observe the passage. He passionately viewed this mission, his ministry, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 to 21. Yes, the other chapter, 16 to 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not accounting people's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin through us. Purpose, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. By the way, I'm using the New International Version. But Paul is challenging us to take this mission very sincerely. Why? For Christ is the only person that has the ability to reconcile the sinners to God. In fact, our verse is saying, He became sin for us so that we might become God's righteousness. That's the only righteousness that would pass the scrutiny of heaven. God's righteousness that is in Christ, that is in me, by faith. Number two, who gave us this mission? Verse 1 and verse 15, the merciful and gracious God. Yes, the God of mercy and of grace has given us a mission. This God who is righteous desires to bring back his rebellious and lost creation who were created in his very own image to his fold. This God has been extending his hands to sinners to be reconciled to him at the expense of his own son. The Bible tells us that this God both gives warning and words of comfort by telling a sinner that he or she will be going to hell surely if she or he rejects Jesus, but can certainly enter heaven if anyone places his or her faith in his dear precious Lamb. Our God, who is merciful and gracious, can transform a sinner into saint. This is the only God that can give and change man's stubborn, sinful, and stony heart into a heart of flesh. In having this kind of God who is merciful and gracious, what a comfort that we can just come to him just as we are, with all honesty and humility. Why? For he knows that from the very beginning, we deserve punishment, penalty for our sins. But in spite of this fact, he granted us undeserved favor, withholding that we deserve. At the moment we received his only and dear Son, who became our Savior, Jesus. Beloved, this God is described as super rich in his mercy and grace to his children. That's why we call him, even as we pray, our ever merciful and gracious Heavenly Father. This is the God whose throne has overflowing grace and mercy, so that when we come, we can certainly find help in times of need with boldness. This is the God who hears the cry of a helpless, desperate sinner who calls him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's no like him. This is the kind of God who has given us the mission to proclaim Christ. Why? Because in Christ, the grace and mercy of God has been actively portrayed. When was the last time you sincerely thank God for his abundant mercy and his grace that he's been showing to you? The prodigal son, after he sinned against his father and finally came to his senses, had realized one thing, which was the sense of unworthiness. I pray that each one of us has still have that consciousness of his mercy and grace. That's the way he has been dealing with us. May we as God's children would be conscious about his mercy and his grace that's been given to us continually. Why? Because it will save us from lots of troubles in our dealing with each other, in our relationship with each other. I pray that we would learn to be gracious and merciful to each one of us who have been recipients of God's mercy and of God's grace. Number three, to whom this mission has been given. Verse 7. To us, fragile individuals likened to a jar of clay. The mission has been entrusted to us who are limited in power. God has entrusted this mission not to supermen and women, but to merely ordinary individuals. What a comfort. Why? so that God can give us His all-surpassing power. This mission has been given to all of us who are imperfect, inadequate by God's own standard. So I think the greatest difference in our days from the days of the early church is this. These days, Christians are so filled with techniques about evangelism, while in those days, Christians were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Many, many times we have been neglecting the true source of power that comes from God. It's no wonder that Jesus, the commander, has instructed his first witnesses that before they can go to be his witnesses, they must wait for the Holy Spirit to empower them. Why? For he knew that our human-made arsenal against the enemy of the gospel, who is the God of this age that causes blindness to sinners, will fail. Only the power of God by the Holy Spirit, the eyes of sinners can be opened. Only God can breathe life into a dead soul, though it's completely dead. Thus, it's best for us to keep on recognizing that we are like jars of clay, so that God can powerfully use us in accomplishing His mission. This does not mean that we will not do our best in learning our basic doctrines, in training about evangelism. What we mean is this: our best, even our very best, will surely fail without the power of God working in us and through us. This has been God's design of doing the mission, the ministry, so that at the end, He, the potter, gets the glory, and not we, the clay of jars. Would you say amen? Paul, by saying with Timothy that they were jars of clay, is teaching us honesty and humility as we do, as we move forward doing the ministry, the mission. Because any time we can be rendered unfit and unuseful for the master because of our own weaknesses. But like Paul, what a comfort that we can have that confidence that through Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things, because our God would keep on giving us the strength or power that we need in accomplishing His mission. Beloved, we must be in constant realization that we are merely jars of clay. Let's not forget that we are weak, so that the ever-powerful God can sustain us and strengthen us till the mission He has given us be accomplished. I mentioned in the first service that I was a son of a farmer. And back then, I've seen my own parents recycling the broken jars, originally for water storage, drinking water. But they would recycle it into a flower pot. How many times I've seen the jar made of clay just so easily broken? Well, in our text, the obvious concept is to bring us to awareness that each one of us are weak, in that our durability to deliver is completely dependent upon the power of God. Please observe carefully how Paul described the condition they were in verses 8 and 9. In this manner, we are hard pressed. Not occasionally, but continually on every side. Struck down, but not destroyed. Crushed. Perplexed, I would say, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. I'd like to say it again, struck down, but not destroyed. They could have been broken so easily because of the pressures, if not for the surpassing power of God, God has given to Timothy and Paul. They could have not survived. They could have easily raised the white flag, then leave the mission field and go home. And I said, if they were in Toronto, just watch Blue Jays and Raptors, go Raptors, whatever. Live a comfortable life, running away from pressures and problems in the ministry. Dear friends, I have a challenge for you. If we would really take our mission, our ministry from God heartily, no amount of sufferings, sorrows, and sacrifices can overpower the strength, the power that God will supply. If you doubt it, ask Pastor Katanas later on. I would highly recommend. No amount of disappointments and discouragements can stop you in serving the Lord. So in our churches today, we do need with urgency leaders and members who confess their weaknesses, inability, insufficiency, so that we can come to God for our strength, for guidance, ability, sufficiency, as we do the mission He entrusted to us. I say He is still the sure source of power in pursuing our mission He has given us. And He will not run out of that power individually and collectively as we do the mission. So as we do the mission, let's resolve to rely upon God's surpassing power to sustain us to the end. Number four, how are we going to accomplish this mission? I give there negatively and positively. It says, by not giving up, verse 1 and 16. Paul is saying we never lose our hearts, our confidence. So we must serve like them, persevering in preaching Christ, enduring in preaching Christ. The scenario Paul is giving us is so vivid that this mission could have cost even their own lives. They were actively facing hardships, dangers, and even their own lives in a regular basis. But the mindset of giving up as servants on a mission never came in their minds. Their conviction was so strong that their mission is more precious than their own lives. What an excellent example. Thank God we're in Canada, and we have lots of opportunities to share Jesus to others without being afraid of to be killed, persecuted. But I think one of the dangers is the danger we're in Canada is the dollar year, that we just keep on working and we're not doing friendship evangelism, which is still the best way to invite others to Jesus. As students, to dream bigger dreams is fine, it's okay. But it's not your noblest mission. So I say, make friends with other students. Find ways to invite them in knowing Christ. I pray that our dreams, both young and old, here in Canada, would not misdirect us to the highest goals we have from God and in doing His mission for us. May we still set our minds on things above, and may God in His mission to reconcile sinners to Himself will remain in our hearts. May all of us who confess to be the followers of Jesus would be persevering, enduring in the proclamation of the good news that would grant freedom to sinners. It could be a sad comment if none of your classmates, none of your co-workers, none of your neighbors know that you are a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. We can just set aside this God-given mission for us. Two years ago, I was requested by a family to do the officiating in their house blessing. It was great for most of the neighbors. Weather, of course, food for the stomach. And I was privileged to give food for the souls. It was, in a sense, friendship evangelism. And this leads us to the positive way of how we are going to accomplish this mission. Positively, with integrity. Chapter 4, verse 2 and 5, with honesty and with humility, for we are all servants. So if our words and actions are seen by others as beautiful because they are consistent with our beliefs, then it would add attraction to our gospel. And finally, by God's grace, we can direct them to Jesus. Paul says with Timothy, we don't use trickery, deception, and distortion as we share God's word. We don't hide anything. We've been truthful to you. We're like open books to you. Back in the days, in those days of the apostles, early Christians, there are some individuals that were preaching God's word for personal gain. And as we know, sadly, it's happening today, even in our generation. But Paul, it was an honest to goodness proclamation of the gospel, including their lives, their lifestyle. If you're old enough and you're following the climate of the politics in U.S., both of the presidential candidates has a huge issue in their integrity. So they're choosing the lesser evil, in a sense. It's been a great problem. In contrast, like Paul and Timothy, if we are to accomplish this God-given mission, we should be a man and woman of integrity. We should show honesty and humility, both in our words and in our actions. And we must do this mission with faith. Further, in a positive way, let's view this greatest and noblest mission in the light of eternity, according to chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. We're talking here of temporal troubles versus eternal glory, which Paul and Timothy has encountered in proclaiming Christ through God's grace could save others than bring overflowing thanksgiving and God be glorified. In chapter 4, verse 15. This mission of sharing Christ must be calculated in the light of eternity by faith. Our conviction to tell others about Jesus must be in harmony with his calculation when he said, what does it profit a man if he gains the entire universe but loses his own soul? No amount of sacrifice in pursuing a single soul would be in pain. So it's best to remind ourselves again and again that our time, our treasures, our talents, our tears and troubles given and gained in the mission of sharing Christ will never be in vain as we view this ministry, seeing eternity in the eyes of faith. Our labor of love will never be in vain. Only the biblical formula of God that gives us the assurance that tears plus troubles equals reward or triumph. So like Paul and Timothy, let's continually fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Chapter 4, verse 18. Last question for our study. Are you in this mission? Verses 6 and 13. If you have experienced personally the mercy and grace of God in Christ, like Timothy and Paul, then you have been included in this mission. If by God's grace and mercy you have been saved through faith, then you have been enlisted. If you have that shining light shining in your heart already, then according to chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, you are in this mission. And you can just keep that light for yourself, that shining light in your heart. Jesus said, having a logical presentation, that a light under a basket does not serve its very purpose. So we must all shine for Jesus. In fact, it's a command, let your light so shine before men. So I come to this conviction that your school, your workplace or places and community has been given by God so that your light can be, you would shine as lights of Jesus. As a result, your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, by our good works, may be glorified. Every one of us who knows and comprehends the gospel is under obligation to do this mission. Paul called himself as a debtor both to the Jews and to the non-Jews concerning the proclamation of the gospel. So let's buy every opportunity God is giving us to share his love through his son Jesus. Each one of us, beloved, who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ has that ongoing responsibility to share him to others. But my friend, if you are here today and have not experienced the saving grace and mercy of God, that wondrous grace, you must first come to Jesus. You must ask him to forgive you of your sins, accept him as your Savior, then acknowledge him as your Lord. Then he can give you the real meaning of life in the highest purpose of your life here on earth. As a result, you can be involved in this noblest mission of telling others that they can also be forgiven of all their sins if they would receive Jesus as their own personal Savior from the coming judgment. Now let's reevaluate contextually our ministries as a church. Just to mention some: children, youth, couples, adults, singles, family camp. I've heard music choir, pulpit, and other ministries. If any of this ministry does not purposely carry the element of evangelism and discipleship, then we lost the real essence of our mission as a church. So I pray that this study will energize, will fuel our hearts and our minds to the mission God has given us, purposely and passionately. We have the verse, and I think that version in sum up is go, give, send, and pray. I pray that we will not only give, but we will go and make disciples. And continually pray. Because as we know, God normally would use those who are prayerful. Pray that the Lord of the harvests will send forth laborers, workers. And I assure you, God will use you in a mighty way. Individually and collectively, let's be aware that we still have our ongoing mission greater than your own. I don't know your ambitions here in Canada. I mentioned few in the first service. You could be buying a new house, a new car, cottages, or an airplane. But our ongoing mission is greater than our own. Why? For our community, our city, our country, even the world has been waiting for us to tell them about Jesus. So while you're praying, Lord, give me a passion for the lost, dying, helpless, and hopeless souls once again. In the news, presidential candidates in U.S., I don't want to mention their names, are spending millions of dollars in a mission to make America great again. And the other one is to promote the statement, "Together we are stronger." Beloved, in the moral and spiritual aspects, we have the noblest mission than them. And that's to proclaim the only Jesus, the name above all names, so that people be born again, be saved, not only be born again, but enjoy the greatness of God in His riches up in heaven one day, where true and lasting freedom can be enjoyed, a place where completely righteousness and peace are present. So I say in conclusion, our mission is still going on. Will you join? May God help us.
I'd like to ask everyone to join me in standing and turn your Bible, your hymn book, rather, to number 297.